Last time we were learning the Melacha Chodesh, it's very interesting. There's an argument in the order of the first two Melachas. Because many Poskim write, or the question in the Mishnah, what the version of the Mishnah is. But most Poskim write Zereya, which is planting, before plowing. Now really the order is first you plow and then you plant. But many, even when many Sfarim write the order of the Lamates Melachas, even though it's really a Mishnah and Shabbos, but many put Zereya first and some put Chodesh first. So last time we did Chodesh. Let's talk a little bit about Zereya, which literally means planting or sowing. Not sowing a needle, sowing the land. Now where was planting done in the Mishkan? They used to plant herbs. They needed dyes in the Mishkan to color the skins and all that. So therefore they used to plant things in the Mishkan. Besides the fact they also planted, they needed flour for the breads, for the flour offerings, and so on and so forth. So therefore the Melacha Zereya, planting, is anything that betters, improves the growth of any plant or anything that grows. Any smallest amount is chayev for planting on Shabbos. It doesn't have to be a tremendous amount. Now, there's a very interesting uniqueness with planting. From the time you put the seed in the ground, okay, until it actually germinates, takes 3 days. Okay? So now the question is, what happens if a guy plants a seed in the ground, and a day later there was a big wind and it blew the seed away and nothing happened from it? Would he be chayiv for the planting that he did? So there's a big argument in the Rishonim what the halacha is. Some people say, no, you're chayiv anyway. You planted, you did your part. What happened later, it happens later. That's not your business. Some poskim know that, you know, you're not allowed to do it, obviously. But if it comes out that it doesn't germinate, so you're lucky. You didn't get, you're lucky Hashem gave you a help. It's like what we learned before. The Gemara says, what happens if somebody is baking bread in the oven? And let's say it takes to bake, the fire is on, so you're not turning on the fire. So now the oven's on. So now somebody puts a loaf of bread in the oven. So let's say it takes an hour to bake. Whatever, let's say, yeah? And after half an hour, the oven went out. Or a guy came and took the bread away from out of the oven. So over there, you're not chayiv. But by planting, they still write, it's still different, and therefore you would be chayiv, according to many opinions, for planting. Bottom line is, you're definitely not allowed to plant in any way. But the only time some poskim hold until when the seed starts germinating, which means it rots in the ground, that's when the actual malach of zereya is chayiv. Some poskim hold, once you plant it because you did your part, you're chayiv. And otherwise, it's not. Okay, so therefore, bottom line is because you can't do it either way. Okay, what?
Why is putting the seed in the ground, is there a plant? Don't you have to water it?
No, just planting a seed in the ground, there's the water in the ground itself that could make something grow. Watering we'll soon get to. Watering the lawn, watering the seed, watering a plant, that's also planting.
And if it's in the desert, no watering the soil at all?
Then it's nothing, because it can't grow. You're not growing anything. So we learned also, by chayrish, by plowing, if you plow in the desert, it's not called plowing, because you have to plow earth that's fit to grow things. So planting also, you know, unless it's cactus, maybe don't grow in the desert. Who knows? Okay. So now, basically, scattering seed over the ground, planting, grafting a branch of one tree into another, layering, which is bending a branch into the ground, or replanting, all these things are called planting on Shabbos, which are biblically forbidden. Okay? Now, he writes, planting seeds in the desert sand is not forbidden because they can't grow in the desert. Okay, if you put seeds in a sandbox, it's also not going to grow. So you're not chayiv. It's not. Or some poskim write that you're allowed to. Let's say there's a place where a lot of people walk and trample. So even if you put the seed in the ground, nothing's going to happen because it's going to get trampled before anything happens. They wrote, you're also not chayiv.
If you cannot do it with seed, certainly you cannot do it with a grown piece of plant. Like.
No, you can't. For instance, I'll give you an example. If you're eating fruits and vegetables outside, sometimes you finished eating the fruit, so you throw the seeds on the ground. That's planting on Shabbos. Because now the seeds can grow. So you have to be careful.
Not on cement?
Huh? Not on cement. Thing on ground, on earth. Yeah. What?
Why aren't you allowed to move a plant on Shabbos? Planting a potted soil.
We're going to get that in a second. There's two types of pots. There's a perforated pot and a non-perforated pot. Right? The perforated pot means there's a... This is a perforated pot, right? There's holes at the bottom. So if you have something growing in here, let's say you have earth, and you have something growing in here, it's still nourishing from the ground. That's mamish planting or harvesting if you separate it. But even if not, even if it's like this, there's no holes at the bottom, so it can't nourish from the ground, if it's growing in the dirt, it's still biblically forbidden to do. You can't, therefore it's muktzah. Cut flowers are not muktzah. But we'll learn about putting flowers into water on Shabbos is a problem. What?
Are apple seeds and watermelon seeds, are those muktzah?
If they're edible, they're not muktzah.
Okay.
Some people eat apple seeds. But it's like you have watermelon seeds also. Yeah, but I'm saying avocado seed pits, you're not going to eat.
Right.
Orange seeds, people eat. I mean, sometimes that's what?
Let's say there's a tablecloth and you need the place for Shabbat to have the kiddush. And they say, let's clean the tablecloth in the backyard. There could be seeds, there could be...
Then you're not allowed to. Sometimes you take a tablecloth off a table and you shake it out outside.
Right.
So if you have seeds or water on the tablecloth, then you can't squirt it over water.
But if you don't have seeds?
Give me another example. Californians don't know what this is. There's something called sukkis when it rains. Here our problem is it gets too hot in the sukkis. You need air conditioning. But in a place called New York... There's usually a lot of rain during sukkahs. So what they do is, the sukkahs have, if it's on your porch, let's say front porches, so you have an awning. Okay? So when you're not sitting in the sukkah, they put the awning over the sukkah, right? And then when they want to sit in the sukkah, they open the awning. Now you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov if 3 inches of the awning is already open. Then you're just extending it. Which inevitably those awnings that are over the porches are more than 3 inches open anyway. You can't close it all the way down. So there's a din. What happens if it rains? Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Sukkos, yeah? And there's tons of water on the awning. And then you open up the awning and the water pours all over the grass.
Yeah.
Huh? No, schach is not growing. No, but I'm saying... If the sukkah is on grass and then you open the awning and the water pours all over the grass, that's mamish forbidden. It doesn't matter, but it's inevitable to happen. What you could do, what we learned, but what you're saying, based on what we learned in previous classes, you can ask a guy to open the awning. Because what you're asking the guy to do is permissible. You're allowed to open the awning. Through this, inevitably, it's going to water the grass. But a psikreshili, we learned, is permissible by a guy. There's not a problem with it. But you have to be very careful with these things. Same thing with same thing with flower pots. Planting in a pot with a hole in it is biblically forbidden. A non-pot without a hole in it is rabbinic. I mean, there's, you know, it's still forbidden. Bottom line, it's still forbidden. The same thing, you can't change the position of a pot. If you have a perforated pot, and you move it from here to here. Besides muktzah, let's talk about the biblical aspect. You move it from here to here, it's also biblically forbidden.
What about a lulav?
I mean, rabbinically forbidden.
How about a lulav?
We'll see about the lulav. He talks about this in a second. Because you're only allowed to return a lulav to water if it was in the water before Yom Tov. If it wasn't, then you're not allowed to.
So, big clarification. So, non-perforated...
One second. Let me just give you a simple example. Very common case. You have guests coming on Shabbos. Friday night, or they're coming when it's already Shabbos. Or they come Shabbos afternoon. They're very nice guests, so they bring you flowers. Okay? So they're not bringing you flowers in a vase already with water in it. They're bringing you cut flowers, loose, and what you're normally supposed to do is put it into a vase, or vase, whichever way you pronounce it, right? So you can't do that on Shabbos. And according to many poskim, even if the flowers are completely opened already, they're really, the water's not going to do anything. Like this, the water makes them open. That's also part of the growing planting process. One sec. So if Lepel, it's not going to, even if they're open already, poskim right, you're still not allowed to.
So if I have a flower pot and it's raining, I cannot move the flower pot under the rain, right?
No, because then you're watering it.
Yeah.
Besides the fact it's muksa. Flowers are not muksa. Cut flowers are not muksa. Yes, sir.
All right. So are you allowed to ask a boy to open the fridge if the light's going to go on?
Yeah, we learned that. You could, yeah.
You could ask.
Yeah. You can even tell him to close it, too.
So what? Flower pot with flowers in it, without a hole in it, it's on the table on the Shabbat?
Flowers are not muksa.
No, in a pot. In a soil.
In soil? That's a plant, it's not flowers. That's a growing plant.
A growing plant, whatever.
Yeah, a growing plant is muksa on Shabbos.
Even if it's not perforated.
Right.
Are you talking about with mud on the bottom? Like he has mud?
No, you have these beautiful plants, you know, that...
The orchid.
Whatever, then even the flowers grow from it later. But the fact is, it's a growing plant, you know, it's muksa on Shabbos. Even if there's no hole at the bottom, moving it is still forbidden because it's muksa. Okay.
Where did muksa come from?
Rabbinic.
I mean, how did it come about? Is it, if I remember correctly, it says for people who don't do any work, do
the no.
week?
Anyway. No. In the days of Nehemiah, that was the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. Nehemiah saw, him and Ezra were the leaders of the Jewish people. So Nehemiah saw that people were very, very lax when it came to Shabbos. Very lax. So they wanted to tighten the reins. Okay? So Nehemiah came up with the takana called Muksa, which is rabbinic. And originally, by the way, he said you cannot move anything on Shabbos. Food and the dishes that you need for food. That's it. Nothing else is allowed to be moved on Shabbos. When he saw people started getting better, they became more relaxed in the muksa. But there's three reasons for muksa. One is people that don't do anything a whole week, so how do they feel Shabbos? So by having muksa... Another thing is, you might come to carry it out on Shabbos. And the third reason, Chacham said, if you can't walk on Shabbos like during the week, if you can't talk on Shabbos like you do during the week, you shouldn't be moving things on Shabbos like you do during the week. So muksa is rabbinic. And therefore, moving a plant is not a growing plant, not cut flowers. Cut flowers are not muksa. But a growing plant is muksa.
And if you need the space,
you can't move it for anything. By the way, sometimes putting something into water also makes it grow. If you have an avocado pit,
yeah.
You put it into a jar of water, and then it starts taking roots. I don't know what you call it. Things start coming out of it, and eventually you put it into the ground. But putting that into water or Brussels sprouts or things like that you put even into water, even though you're not putting it into ground, is called planting on Shabbos, biblically.
Potatoes.
Whatever it is, anything that would cause things to grow by putting it into water, it would be forbidden.
Yeah. If you have like, let's say, frozen broccoli.
What?
Frozen broccoli in a package.
Yeah.
you want to defrost. Can you take it out of the refrigerator and defrost?
On Shabbos, you could defrost it, yeah. Not in hot water, but in cold water.
What? Why can't you make pickles on Shabbos?
How does it get here? You can't pickle things on Shabbos because most people pickle for long terms, and you're doing things on Shabbos which are not necessary for Shabbos, so it's extra work on Shabbos that shouldn't be done. What? No, only a little bit of immediate eating.